and I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Not too bad. Back to routine, as we said before.
That's right. You know, when you, the holidays and everything is behind us, and now we're back to the grind of things.
Yeah.
The question is do we still remain in the grind of things of, you know, status quo as of last year, or do we take new resolutions to make it better? And that's what I challenge everyone. Take new resolutions to make this year a lot better than it was last year.
And good luck with that.
Yes, absolutely. So we start off, you know, we're already in the second book of the Torah, of the Shemot, and we're in the second chapter, second Va'era, which is the second chapter in the book of Shemot. And we see in this week's Torah portion that God reveals himself to Moses, and he gives him the four expressions of redemption, which we say on Pesach, and which comes from this parasha. A lot of the reading of the Torah portions on Pesach are from this week's Torah portion.
Yeah.
And he says, the four expressions, he promises to take out the Lakachti, the children of Israel from Egypt, and he'll deliver them from their enslavement. He will redeem them and acquire them as his own, as his chosen people, obviously, were at Mount Sinai. And Moses and Aaron repeatedly go before Pharaoh and demand in the name of the Lord of Hashem, let my people go. And obviously, he has a hard, and he says no. Aaron's staff turns into a snake and swallows the magic, the magician's sticks of the Egyptian people. And he sends a series of plagues of Egypt. In this week's Torah portion, we see the blood, the frogs, the lice, the wild animals, the pestilence, and the painful boils, and the hail, which are talked about in this week's Torah portion. Next week are the remaining ones. And, you know, we think about it a lot, you know, based on the Torah portion. Over the course of history, our people, the Jewish people, experienced many miracles in our lives and in the Jewish nation as a whole. But only the miracle of the redemption of Exodus is told us that we have to deliberately recall it every single day. And the question that everyone asks is, why is this different? Why is this miracle of the Exodus of Egypt that will happen, and everything that is going on, which is the prelude to the Exodus of Egypt, why is this different than any other miracle that God has performed for the Jewish people? And the Torah communicates really this on many, many levels. And it refers to, you know, the fact that when it addresses the ancient Exodus of Egypt, it also refers to a contemporary spiritual form of Exodus, which we have to try and get out. The Exodus every day of our spiritual aspects empowers us to experience really its spiritual equivalent every day. And, you know, I think I remember seeing once there's an analogy that I think can help us understand it. You know, suppose an entire graduating class was given $1 million as a graduation gift. And
I'm going back to school.
Yeah, me too. And suppose we were immature and we wasted it over the next 10 years on nothing, on pleasurable activities. And suppose further that one of our friends did not join the merrymaking, the happy time. He used his money instead to fund cancer research. And after 10 years, actually discovers a cure, which I hope, God willing, we will find a cure soon. And during our 10 years of, you know, of merrymaking, we always felt bad for this friend who we missed out all the time on the fun and, you know, the round-the-world cruises, the packages, the fine dining, so on and so forth. And every time we would tell him to come, he'd turn us down. And after 10 years of merrymaking, our money has disappeared, gone, while his money is saving lives. Now, if you think about it, now we realize how right he was. We all could have, if we think about it in our minds going back, could have accomplished something of everlasting value with our money. We could have built, you know, internal edifices. We could have helped the lives improve of our standard of living and other people's standard of living. Instead, we wasted it on temporary pleasures for no real value. Now, we used to feel bad for our friend who, you know, who failed, quote-unquote, to enjoy his money. But as it turned out, we now feel bad for ourselves. And we think about it, our sages are telling us that all of creation emanated from a single thought. The Creator had one thought, to create the world, which he then articulated into 10 utterances brought down in the Kabbalah. And from that, the entire world was created. So if we think about, let us compare the value of one thought to the vast number of thoughts that one can think in a lifetime. The value of a single thought is really, is really minuscule compared to all the thoughts that we have throughout our life. And if we think about it, let's compare the collective value of all our thoughts to the source of the thoughts, which is what? The brain, which can potentially think of an infinite number of thoughts. We limit it, but it can think about a million different thoughts at one time. Now, if we look and we say, you know, we have really two options in life. One is to spend it accumulating enjoyable experiences that are here today and gone tomorrow. And in the ultimate scheme of things, these pleasures do not amount to much in a way of true value. They are sort of more a mere sliver of something very small. Another option is to spend our time forging a connection with the Creator himself. Not just to enjoy the results of a single thought. Okay, created the world, so I'm enjoying the world. But to link directly with him. If his one thought can contain so much beauty, enjoyment, power, passion, how much more so is his essence? If one little thought can create what we have today, how much more so is his worth, is his essence? And it is true that in this lifetime, if we think about it, we don't derive much in the way of physical pleasure from these commandments. You can't do this, you can't do that, you could do this. But this is not always the true value. So now if we think about it, let's go back to the idea of emotional exodus from Egypt. Besides this physical aspect of redemption of Egypt, there is another form of enslavement from which is we need to require liberation. And we feel we go through life trapped by what? By self-serving emotions. These include, you know, self-pity that would drag us down and make us insecure and stop us from moving forward. We don't have a security blanket that shields us from the world, so on and so forth. We make this. We develop this as our life. So as long as we are in this pit, we derive a measure of false comfort and security from it. It is only really after we go out, we claw our way out of the pit, that we're able to appreciate the darkness and the loneliness of the pit. It is only after the exodus that we can appreciate how exhilarating and empowering the liberty of who we are is. And really, to conclude, to liberate ourselves from the choices that limit us so that we can make choices that empower us in spiritual exodus is it's a big struggle. Now, we don't have to take life all on at once. We can take small little challenges day by day. Even if yesterday, even if last year, even if whatever was all marked with limited and limiting choices, we can still find liberation in the choices we make today. That's why every day is an exodus. Every day can be an escape. And that's why we remember the story every day. When we reflect on how easily God defeated the Egyptians and he liberated us from the confinement, we realize that he can just easily empower us today to overcome our limitations and to go to a higher level. So because of that, we remember the enslavement of Egypt every single day to help us understand and to conquer those challenges that we have in our daily life. And we're able to do it if we're willing to claw out of that pit that we have created for ourselves and start a new journey in life. And that's what this week's Torah portion message, I think, can have for everyone as a whole.
That's interesting. Rabbi, can you tell us about services in Shaarei Tzedek?
We have services Friday evenings at 5 o'clock, followed by Shabbat morning is at 9:30, and we have Sunday morning at 8:15 by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday in the community at 7:15. And, you know, it's very interesting. You know, this week all the students are back. We have a very big welcome back Shabbat. It's the first Shabbos of the semester. We have a huge crowd already coming. So it's going to be a good aspect of the students. Hopefully it will be a good semester.
That's great. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Wishing you a good Shabbos, and look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.